It's so easy to have a false view of who and what you are, to believe something about yourself in the face of stark and overwhelming evidence on the contrary. And this happens to me in multiple areas of my life, and it always surprises me. It surprises me when I discover, you know, who and what I am in reality versus the story that my past, my conditioning, my ego, just my mind likes to chatter away at. I'm going to give you a few examples of this, good, bad, and ugly. Let's see how we go. So the reason for this share, for this podcast episode, happened last night. I train Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and Friday night is competition class. It's a two-hour session in which we often go quite hard, and yesterday was a pretty intense session. You know, it's an hour of strength and conditioning where you're just getting pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed. I'm dripping with sweat, close to vomiting, but I made it all the way through. It's a mental toughness game sort of thing. And after that hour of conditioning work, physical and mental conditioning work, a coach pulled us aside and basically said to get to a place where you can't be broken. Get to a place where you are able to push. And, you know, given that Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is a fighting art, learn how to break the other person mentally. You know, give them such pressure, such force, such persistence that they break and you don't. Have a mentality where you can't be broken. Outwork your opponent. This sort of thing. And I'm not going to lie, I was dripping with sweat, but I was also low-key crying in the middle of class because I sort of came to this realization that I quit on myself, or I believe that I quit on myself. But then also, I look at what I'm doing, you know, with the TMS treatment and all of the other stuff that I've been doing over the years to just survive and push through and attempt to thrive. And it's like, far out, I've got this sort of twisted worldview in my mind where I do feel like I'm a quitter, where I do feel like I'm going to give up. But then I look at what I'm doing and what I have done, and it's clear that I don't quit, that I haven't quit. But that's sort of countered by the idea that when I get put under a lot of pressure, I do at least temporarily quit. I tap out. I give up. I let the opponent pass my guard and just accept the position, to take the jiu-jitsu analogy, or, you know, I fall off that mental cliff and I struggle. And it was particularly prominent last night because, yeah, like I said, I'm going through the TMS treatments. I'm, I think, 22 sessions in, and it makes me feel lethargic. I am tired, right? It is a lot. I've got a coffee in front of me right now, and it's helping me to keep energized, right? There's a lot going on. I have quit. So it's this contradiction in my mind. Anyway, after this talk and the tears, we were then to free train, which involves basically sparring, and it's a competition class. So we spar hard. You know, that's why I'm there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining about this. It's more just sharing the story of the mental state and the realization. And I rolled with a couple of people, and the last roll I had was about about 10 to 15 minutes. And it was with someone who is unquestionably better than me. And he provides a lot of pressure, and it's a lot of work. It's hard. And in the past, I've quit. I've given up. I've accepted the position because he's better than me. It's like, he's better than me, so he's going to beat me, so why not just accept the position? And I've done just that. But the problem is by accepting that position, I give up and I don't learn, and yeah, it's the mental state loss. But this time, with, you know, this thoughts running through my mind of what my coach was saying, bolstered by the idea of like, hey, I'm not giving up. Doing the TMS, doing the journey that I've been doing here is me showing that I do not quit. That inspired me to keep pushing and to fight on. Now, objectively speaking, I still quote-unquote lost, as in he was on top, dominating the whole role. If we were to be tracking points, he would have marketably destroyed me. But, and here's the big but, is that I didn't quit. I didn't accept the position. I didn't allow him any more than he could take from me. Right, and this is a clear distinction here. If we're in a combative situation, a few things can happen. When you start dominating someone, get on top of someone, hold them down, you know, do the whole jiu-jitsu thing. If they can either fight or they accept. And a lot of people, when you start winning, they just accept and they roll over, and it's this feeling of like giving up. But if you don't accept and you push back, you still might lose, but you make them earn every scrap, every inch. You make them pay. So that's what I did. I still lost. I didn't tap out. Not that that really is a point. If I had have tapped out or not, it wouldn't have really mattered anyway. It's the mental state in my mind. I did not quit. And after the roll, the guy I was rolling with was like, that's a good roll. And I'm like, yeah, fuck, that was great. I'm sore from it. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's, I got destroyed. But after the roll, the coach also said to me, like, you didn't quit. Good job. You didn't quit. Good job. Like, just such simple words of encouragement, but something that I realized, I'm like, hey, like, it's so true. Like, I have been quitting. I have been giving up. I have been stopping myself. What if I didn't do that? What if I persisted? What if I continued? What would that mean? What would that be in my life? What would it mean for who and what I am, right? So I wanted to share that little win with you, this mental state win, this idea of not quitting. Now, obviously, this mental state has to be tapered with long-term goals, has to be tapered with, you know, injuries and, you know, all of those real-world things. But there is something to be said about deciding not to quit. It's like, no, I am going to fight tooth and nail for this. You know, from a martial arts perspective, it's a microcosm. It's like, okay, here and now I'm standing this ground, and if you beat me, I will go down kicking and screaming. I will go down fighting tooth and nail, and you'll have to force your will upon me. You'll have to stop me, because if you don't, I will stop you. That's the mental state I want to evoke. And, you know, with the mental health issues and all of these things, it's something that I feel like could, you know, apply a strong will against the mental health, the mental illness symptoms, rather. Triggered, depression, anxiety. It's like, no, I will not let you beat me. I will stand firm. I will fight back. Now, that fighting back may look like getting 35 days of TMS treatment. It might look like seeing a psychologist. It might look like daily meditation. It might look like, you know, all of these different things that I have to do. But I will keep going, and I will win. I will not be defeated. And it will hurt. But I will get stronger because of that hurt. There's something there, right? So that's the first, I suppose, the positive side of things. But on the negative side of things, and I did a video about this sort of like realization of who and what I am relative to who and what I think I am. I've long believed, and I think everyone, not everyone, but there's research to suggest that most people believe themselves to be more lucky than the average person, better looking than the average person, less likely to suffer catastrophic injury, illness, or loss than the average person. You can look up the data on this. Basically, the average person believes themselves to be above average, and I am not immune to this, right? And I find it expressed with morality, with friendship, with connection and relationship, with expectations. Once again, it's like, oh, I'm suffering a mental illness. I expect people to understand that, to be lenient, to, you know, quote unquote, get it. But when someone else is suffering a mental illness and they do something like bail on a plan or, you know, treat me a certain way with a bit of shortness or whatever, something that I would do, I get upset, I get annoyed, I expect them to be more, to do better. And then I sit in this state of contradiction, this state of going, oh, well, I'm suffering, so you should help me. Oh, you're suffering? Too bad. Now, that sounds cruel and harsh, and I'm aware of it, and my awareness of that hypocrisy helps guide me to try and be as understanding as possible, both ways, both in the sense of if someone is struggling and I feel slighted by their struggle, to not take it personally and to, you know, offer them loving kindness, you know, healing, support, whatever I can offer them, but also to understand that when I'm struggling and they don't see it and they don't help and all of those sort of things, to not take that personally, because how can I? It's not fair. But there's this inner contradiction that I'm becoming aware of. It's like, oh, huh, I don't quite give people what I expect back. Now, once again, the nuance here is that when you're struggling, you see the whole truth of that struggle. You see it all, you feel it all. But when someone else is struggling, you just see what they present. And often they're presenting a mask that is covering a lot of that struggling. At least that's my experience. So it makes sense why I and other people would be like this and why this happens. But we're just talking about compassion here. And the final thing I want to sort of go down this path of sort of what I think and feel versus what I'm doing. These sort of inner contradictions, these inner sort of awarenesses of the introspective nature of my own reality and perhaps of yours too, is in terms of a gratitude practice, namely a gratitude practice into the future. I've got a course on Insight Timer called Discover Your Divine Purpose, and it is my most popular course. It's got, I think, 7,000 plus students, 300 classroom questions, over 100, you know, 4 to 5 star ratings. Like it's kicking. It's doing great. And the first question in that course is, what would it mean to give thanks in advance for the wonderful things that are going to happen? What would it mean to give thanks in advance for the wonderful things that are going to happen? This question, this idea is evoking a gratitude practice towards the future. And if you were to give thanks in advance for the wonderful things that are going to happen, you will start to sort of become aware and evoke and sort of draw forth that positivity into your day, into your life, into your world. And that's a great and amazing feeling. And, you know, in the classroom, I talk and I respond to people sort of espousing those values. But then I realize that I'm not doing it in my own life. It's like, oh, wouldn't that be good to do? You should do it. It'd be great. But I should do it myself. And it's sort of like, now that I'm aware of that gap, I'm going to start doing it. And I'm like, well, why don't I do it? Why don't I, you know, practice what I preach, for lack of a better expression? And once again, it's sort of easy to detach and step back and see what other people should or could or might want to work on. But it's hard to do it for yourself. It's hard to do it for yourself. But I realize that in the same way that I should with metta meditation, I'll talk about that a little bit soon, but this idea of a gratitude practice, it's so easy to for all of us to focus on the negative, to focus on what we don't have, and just forget the good. This is the idea of a gratitude practice. What do you have to be grateful for right now? I'm sure there's lots. Let's focus on that. The fact that you have a device to be able to listen to this, the fact that the technology exists, the fact that you've probably got food for the day and shelter to live in and clothes, and you live in a at least semi-functional society, right? And even if you have gripes with your society, the fact that we live in a society with the education to even have gripes at is probably positive. You know, I'm not saying that things are perfect, but they could be a lot worse if you look across time to, you know, the past, and if you look across space to some other countries where people objectively have it a lot worse. We have a lot to be grateful for, both now and, you know, this practice of giving thanks in advance for the wonderful things that are going to happen. Good things will come in your life. No matter how bad your life is right now, some good will come. That's true. And the same thing with the metta meditation, this idea of giving loving kindness, you know, sort of just putting your mind into a state of goodness. We should sort of lean into the good, lean into the positivity, because our mind sort of tends to focus on negative. So let's send loving kindness to ourselves, to others, to the world. Why don't I do this more? I know I need it. I know it'd be beneficial. I know that when I do it, I feel great. So why don't I? We fall into ruts. We fall into grooves. We fall into patterns of thinking. You know, the same thing. It's like, oh, I've got this idea that I'm a quitter. So I just quit. That's me. It's like, let's get out of that rut. You know, it's like if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Okay, but that's true for thinking too. Thinking is a precursor to action. Actions are a precursor to results. You make your own luck. How do you make your own luck? Luck by changing your thoughts. How do you change your thoughts? By becoming aware of what you're thinking and actively taking steps to address it. Mindfulness meditation, metta meditation, gratitude practices, therapy, interventions, all of these things can and will help. I'm sharing all of this to say the idea that everyone is an ongoing process, myself included, and I'm just excited to discover more about myself and excited to take these steps down these different paths. I've recently updated the mindset and mentoring coaching section of my website. I've made it quite clear. I've put up my prices. I've simplified it and basically saying to the world, hey, if you want to chat, if you want to go deep, if you want to work with me, we can. I'm offering two services. The first one is like a video call option, 45 minutes or a 90 minute call. And the second option is a voice text coaching. And they work hand in hand or separately, depending on what you need. If you want to chat, talk through specific issues as a once-off or ongoing, I encourage the voice calling option, the video call option over Zoom. And or if you want accountability, if you want regular updates, if you want to talk through things on an ongoing basis, I encourage the voice text coaching option. That's run through Voxer. Basically, it gives you the chance to send me a message at any time. And, you know, within 24 to 72 hours, I will respond back. It's a good place to know that you've been heard, to process stuff, and to sort of speak with me in between our video call sessions. I'm sharing this with you for two reasons. Number one, if you want that service, click through the link in the show notes and, you know, book a session. Number two, I'm sharing it because it is me stepping into my power. I get many messages, emails, all of these things, and basically it's getting to the stage where it's overwhelming. There is too many questions and not enough of me. I do my best to respond and, you know, say, hey, I've written this book, I've done these things, I've put these courses out, but sometimes I can't respond in a timely manner. Sometimes I would want to go deep, and sometimes the person wants me to go deep with them, but I simply can't do that, given the volume for free. I don't have the time, unfortunately. I will still do my best to share what I can, but this is for someone who wants to go deep, who likes what I'm offering, who likes my mental state, who thinks that I could help them. Talk about, basically I help people move from surviving to thriving, offering tips, tools, and tricks to help them process the past, accept the present, embrace the future with positivity and purpose. I also help people with, you know, writing, with poetry, with authentic social media, with creativity, with meditation, with a variety of different things. So like I said, click through that link, have a little read through. And if you like what I'm offering, if the price is on point, if you want to work with me, do so. I can help you to have similar insights into your mental state as I've suggested to you here. Why does this matter? Well, you know, ideally, you're doing it for yourself. You're introspecting, you're seeing this, and then it's adding to some wisdom points effectively. Those wisdom points in your mind help you to, you know, live a better life, more in line with who and what you are. Check it out, consider it, and reach out, message me, and we can connect, because you taking steps to, you know, realize if you do quit, how to stop quitting, if you do judge people harshly or unfairly or hypocritically, if you would benefit from a gratitude or a practice in which you're giving thanks in advance for the wonderful things that are going to happen, or a meta-meditation practice, all of these things. Hone that self-awareness. And if you want that support, reach out. But either way, thanks for listening and stay tuned for the next session. Catch ya. Hey there, podcast. Thanks for listening. I just wanted to take a few moments to give you a bit of an insight into the things I've got going on that you might want to check out. The first is my free 12-week email course called Hunt Your Own Shadow. Each week, you'll be sent an exclusive guided audio track, introspective contemplation, and expansion challenge, all with the goal of helping you to identify and release the limiting beliefs that no longer serve you. You'll also have access to email coaching and a plethora of other resources. If you are keen, you can sign up via the link in the show notes. I also want to let you know that I have an ever-growing collection of courses on Insight Timer and Skillshare, focusing on meditation, self-improvement, creative writing, healing, and personal development. With thousands of students, engaged classrooms, and many, many five-star reviews, these courses will transform your life, helping you move from surviving to passionately thriving. And as a bonus, on Insight Timer, I also have hundreds of free guided meditations and contemplations for you to enjoy. You can check out the links to my Skillshare and Insight Timer profiles via the links in the show notes. I've also published a bunch of books that you might like. How to Get Your Shit Together is quite literally the last self-help book you'll ever need. It begins with the 7 principles you need to turn your life around, followed by 6 sections that will help you to overcome anxiety, defeat depression, move on from trauma, get organized, find meaning, and follow your dreams. How to Get Your Shit Together has the potential to turn your life around, to improve your mental state, functionality, and overall health. It's out now as a paperback, ebook, and audio. If you're into poetry, I'll suggest you check out my collections, including the best-selling new releases for Australian and Oceania poetry called Bound to the Wings of a Butterfly and A Requiem for What Could Have Been. If you are a poet or wanting to be one, you may also appreciate my book, How to Write Evocative Poetry. This is a guidebook for unlocking creativity, expressing truth, and captivating imagination. It contains examples and breakdowns of my best works, along with guided instructions that will get you writing evocative poetry yourself. All these books are available in paperback, ebook, and audio, and you can grab a copy via the links in the show notes. Finally, if you are interested in working with me, I offer one-on-one coaching and mentoring, helping spiritualists, entrepreneurs, and coaches navigate dark nights of the soul, guiding them to take themselves from surviving to passionately thriving, using tips, tools, and techniques that enable them to process the past, accept the present, and embrace the future with positivity and purpose. I only take on a few clients at a time, so if this sounds like something you'd be keen for, you can find out more and apply to work with me via the link in the show notes. And you can check all of those offerings out and more via my website, zachary-phillips.com, or follow me on social media everywhere at Zach B. Phillips. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. Catch ya.